Lydia, it is so good to see you on this kind of gloomy day, but it's not going to be gloomy here in Women's Bible Study. It is going to be a great morning, and I am so excited for you guys to learn from my friend Sarah. It's going to be a great, great time. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we are going to get started. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just bringing us here. Lord, just thank you that we can just gather around your word. I just pray for Sarah right now, Lord, that you would speak mightily through her, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would show us what it looks like to rest in you, both here and now, and the hope of the future with you for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus. So Lord, I just pray that today we would walk away just praising you for who you are and what you've done for us, Lord, and knowing how we can live an abundant life in you. So Lord, we give this time to you and pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Welcome, welcome. It's weird to me to say good morning, but good morning. I serve with Thursday evening Bible study, and so I always say good evening. This lesson, if you had to boil it down to one word, what is this lesson about? Rest, okay? Rest. We're going to talk about Hebrews 4, 1 through 13, if you want to open up your Bibles to that for me, please. Hebrews 4 is about rest. So, I have a question for you. Of these two pictures, which do you find more restful? Okay? Going for a jog or lounging in a hammock? Okay? Jog or hammock? Tell me, jog or hammock? There's got to be somebody in the room that's going to go for a jog. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Okay? I am not one of you, just to say. Okay? I'm totally the hammock person. Jogging is just not fun. I don't get it. Y'all are weird, but that's okay. Okay, how about the second one? Reading a book or just going for a leisurely walk? Book or walk? Ooh, a lot more walks than I thought. You're my people. I am not a book person. That me sitting down reading a book never looks like that. I'm never all that happy when I have to read a book. I'm working on my, other than my Bible, of course. I'm working on my master's right now in administration. I'm a teacher. I'm playing hooky right now, so don't tell anybody. But there's a lot of books to be read. Who likes that? Okay, third one, last pair. Coffee with friends, or food or whatever beverage with friends, or watching TV. Say all the extroverts, okay? All the introverts in the house say, I'm an introvert. I'm on the TV side of that. Give me a good soccer match. I'm a big soccer fan. Football game, a movie. My roommate has determined that I have not watched enough Disney movies in my life, so she is, I think the last one we watched was Little Mermaid. So we're going through the princesses right now for all of you that are also stuck in that phase with your little kids. I'm right there with you with my roommate. That's weird to say. Okay, so the thing we're going to talk about today is that we can and should rest in the Lord today. Did you get that? We can and should rest in the Lord today. We don't have to wait to rest in the Lord. Rest is not really these restful things that we're talking about. Yes, they are restful. That's great. Nor is it something that we only enter when we get to heaven. Rest is something that God is offering to us now here on earth. So what is rest? Obviously, it's not, you know, getting an extra nap in. Rest is knowing that you don't have to work for your salvation. Isn't that restful? I don't have to work for my salvation. We just accept his free gift. We can rest because he is trustworthy. And that's what we're going to see today. Now, rest is active. You're not just sitting back waiting for something to happen. Rest is active. I mean, think about it. God rested on the seventh day, right? Did everything stop breathing on the second day? Did everybody's heart stop beating on the seventh day? No. He was still at work. He maintains us, ladies. We can't do it on our own. He was still at work, but he was resting. Same thing we get to do. So, first point. Go with me, okay? I really wanted acronyms. So, rests extended, scoffers turned down. What do I mean by that? I mean that God offers us rest. It is freely offered through his son. Those who don't believe are turning it down. So rest is extended, but scoffers turn it down. So this is a continuation of last week, if you were here, if you studied with us last section, of the warning passage that Anne covered so beautifully. It starts with a therefore. We've seen that a lot already. And the therefore is, since disobedience has consequences. Okay, that's our therefore. Since disobedience has consequences, God offers rest to all who accept him. So there's a few verses in this section. We're kind of jump around today. Verse 1 says, the promise of entering his rest still stands. It's still offered. It's extended for us. Verse 3 says, we who believe enter that rest. So when you believe, you can have that rest. It's not something you have to work for. That rest is offered. It's there. Verse 9, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, those who believe. So do you believe? Do you believe that Christ paid for all of our sins? He is our propitiation. He covers all of our sins through his death on the cross. And he rose again, defeating death. If you believe that, you have a relationship with God and you can have rest. But are you resting today? The scoffer's side of that is that some decided to turn down his offer. And so do people still today. They're disobedient to the call. That's what that disobedient piece is. It's not that they believed, trusted in Christ, then disobeyed and lost it. That's not what it means. What it means is they were disobedient to the offer. They didn't ever accept his provision, his gift. And so that disobedience cost them. Verse 1, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Why don't we reach it? Because we don't believe. Verse 2, but the message they heard did not benefit them. They heard it. How many times did you hear the gospel before you accepted it? They heard it, but they didn't accept it. Because they were not united by faith with those who believed. You've got to have the faith to believe. We link it back to the Israelites in the next couple chapters, verses. Verse 3, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 5, they shall not enter my rest because of their disobedience of a lack of belief. Verse 6, those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Are we seeing that? Disobedience is a lack of belief. Lack of belief keeps you from entering God's rest. Verse 7, this one kind of pierces us. Do not harden your hearts. Man, think about our world. There are a lot of hard hearts out there. Do not harden your hearts. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fail by the same sort of disobedience. Make it your choice, which I'm assuming majority of you in this room have, but I'm not foolish enough to think that everybody in this room has. Make it your choice to choose to follow Christ and enter his rest. God's rest is offered to all who will believe and trust in him. Are you resting today? Are you a believer or a scoffer? Okay, maybe scoffer is too hard a word. I needed an S, ladies. Come on. Maybe you're not actually a scoffer, but you're not convinced. Or maybe you grew up in the church, but you never really surrendered your life. Oh yeah, I've been in church all my life. Okay, well, when did you choose to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Oh, I've always known that. Be careful. If you aren't a believer, I would love to talk to you. Not for too long because I have to get back to school. But your small group leader would love to talk to you about God and about Christ and about what it means to know him, to have a relationship with him. Trust in Christ. Doing so is the best decision you can ever make. If you're a believer, do you see rest as something you can have today? What keeps you from holding on to God's rest and taking that promise? So let's talk about what rest is. First and foremost, rest ends striving. Thankfully, I needed to see. Rest is no longer having to try to work to gain salvation. Right? That's what we're doing. We're trying to be good enough. If I do enough good things, it's going to outweigh my bad and God's going to accept me. We know we can never do that. Only way we can be accepted by God is by accepting his son. We no longer have to strive to be perfect or good enough. We can't do it anyways. We can rest in the knowledge, belief, and hope of what Christ did on the cross. God is our perfect example of rest. In verse 4, it says, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works." Praise him that he showed us what it meant to rest. God doesn't need to rest. That's for our benefit. We can rest in the security of our salvation. Look at verse 10. "For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his." Like, we rest from our work by trusting in Christ. Rest, listen to this, rest is not the absence of difficulty. It is not the absence of work. It is not the absence of pain. Oh, I wish it was. But really what it is, it's peace of the soul. It's not an absence of difficulty, of work, or of pain. It is a peace of the soul. Knowing whatever storm you are in, God's with you. And he is trustworthy. His character is trustworthy. He's going to guide us. He's going to provide no matter what's going on. So rest is ceasing to strive for whatever you can't do it on your own anyways, right? And trusting in what Christ has already done. Are you resting today? Are you still striving? Man, I can just make God love me more. You can't. He'll think better of me. If you're a believer, he sees Christ when he looks at you. What's better than that? We can stop striving. The day you trust or trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope you remember having this great sense of peace. I was at a Bible study that some girls on my soccer team started, and the leader of the Bible study shared what it meant to trust in Christ and have a relationship with God. And I was like, God wants a relationship with me? I didn't have a relationship really with either of my parents. My own family didn't seem to love me, but God wants a relationship with me? That's amazing. I was all in. Like, yes, sign me up for that. Now, it hasn't been perfect since. That's my fault, not his. But there was peace. There was joy in that. I could rest in that. I could trust him. It was kind of like a weight lifted off of me at that point. Everything inside changes. But does everything outside change? Oof, no. Outside doesn't change. Sometimes the hardest thing to change is our mindset, though. Are you still striving to please God? How do you align your mind with the mind of Christ so that you can rest? What do you do? How do you continually trust in his provision? Yeah, meditating on his word is the number one for me. His word and prayer, top of the list to help me see and rest in him. I love Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He will never leave nor forsake me. Man, I can trust in that. I can rest in that. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Well, that's good because I don't understand it all. and he will direct my path. I can rest in that. I can trust in that. What scripture helps you remember God's character? I encourage you to think of one and share it with your small group when you go to small group time. What is a verse that encourages you because it might encourage somebody else in that room with you? When you do rest in the Lord, it shows that you trust him. So here's our third point. Rest expresses soul trust. Rest expresses that my soul is trusting in God. If I can rest, I must be trusting him. There's two verses. Did anybody feel like 12 and 13 were a little bit out of place? I don't know about you. I got to 12 and I'm like, well, I've heard that, but how did this go with that? But really when I was studying it, the Lord put it on my heart that those are in the exact right place because those last two verses are either scary to you because you don't trust God's character, or they're peaceful to you because you know his goodness. So let's look at verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. That sounds very familiar, right? You know that verse? How many of you stop there and forget about the rest of it because it's a little bit sharper than any two-edged sword. Not a fan of those. Piercing, that feels comfortable, to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow. As an anatomy teacher, I understand what that means, and that is not comfortable either. And the discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That can be scary if you don't know God's character and you don't trust his goodness for you. Isn't it good to have bad things removed? I think so. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you can rest knowing that no matter your thoughts, the intentions of your heart, you're forgiven. And I need that daily, that forgiveness. I need that daily because I mess up daily. And I can rest in the fact that God's working to get that out of me. And he sees me, which is good. As you continue to walk with him and you study his word and you spend time with his people and you talk to him in prayer, the more your thoughts and intentions will actually align with his. And his thoughts and intentions will become your thoughts and intentions, and you will be able to rest even more. Verse 13. No creature is hidden from his sight. Okay, he sees all. Cool. But all are naked and exposed. I just said naked from a podium. To the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I don't know where you are on this. Naked and exposed is not my favorite place to be. Right? I'm not married. For you guys that are married, maybe that's a cool position at some point in time in your life with a certain person. That is never a comfortable position for me to be in, okay? So I read this verse and I'm like, oh, being naked and exposed, man, that's daunting. Unless you're with someone who truly loves you and respects you and has your best interest at heart. And then it's okay. If you have trusted in Christ as your Savior, you can rest, knowing that even though he sees all, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent, he sees all of it. He also knows that your debt is paid. Christ paid that debt on the cross. You have a clean slate. Rest expresses soul trust. Not that you're satisfied thoroughly, not that you're steadily triumphing. I got to get some STs in here. Not that you're simply thriving, because we know rest doesn't mean it takes away the pain, it takes away the heartache. If the only time I can rest is when things are going well, how often are you going to rest? Only if it's going well? Not very often. Rest does not mean things are easy. I like this verse in John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Think rest. In the world you will have tribulation, troubles, pain, heartache. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's why we can rest. We're going to have pain, and we can rest in the midst of it. To be able to rest, we must trust God is in control, and we are secure in him no matter what happens. Anne reminded us last week that God is purposeful, powerful, and good, all of which make him trustworthy. And the more we trust, the more we rest. Are you resting today? Think about how you would respond to one of these situations in your life. Maybe you're going through it. What is your response? If this were to happen tomorrow, what is your response? A hard work situation, a cancer diagnosis, a death of a loved one, a miscarriage, a prodigal child, prodigal grandchild, a lost job, a natural disaster, a war. These are all realities. What's your response? Can you rest knowing all of that is collapsing seemingly around us? I've got a difficult situation at work right now, and it makes me want to not rest. Like, that's my normal bent in that direction. But because I trust God is in control, I can. And it's a silly thing. I got a Sleep Number bed a few years ago, and it gives you a score every night, like how you did on resting. I'm like, I don't know how it knows that. But the other night, I had a particularly hard day. That next morning, I woke up, and I don't ever check my Sleep Number score. I'm like, I don't care. But it must have been really good because it sent me a notification that it was really good. And I'm like, all right. So I went and looked. I got a 97 out of 100, I just want to say, okay? Thank you very much. But how could I just go to sleep? Because I know God's character, and I trust him. Now, I didn't have a 97 last night, but I did last week, okay? So I'm not doing it perfectly, don't hear that. But it is possible to rest in him. Wouldn't it be great if we got like a rest score every day? Those competitive in the house are like, I'm getting that 100, okay? But it would be great if we knew how we were doing. So how are you doing? How would your significant, your husband, how would your best friend, how would your kids, how would your fill in the blank, aunt, uncle, mom, dad, how would they say you're doing on resting? Get a sleep, a rest number score from them. What keeps you from resting? Stress, anxiety, worry? What is it for you? How can you give that over to God and allow your soul to rest in him more fully? Not perfectly, we're not going to get there. Don't, you perfectionists out there, don't hear me saying that. Just more fully. He promises it for us today. We don't have to wait till heaven. We've got it today. So I don't know where you are in these three. Are you resting? Thank you. Are you at the rest is extended, but you're kind of turning it down phase? Be real with yourself. Is that where you are? How do we trust? How do we trust in him? Maybe you're at the rest ends striving, thankfully. You are wrestling with that, or you're there and you're like, oh, I can finally rest. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Maybe you're at the rest expresses soul trust phase. Maybe people see in you rest. You respond well to hard situations. Keep going. We're all going to have bad days in that, but keep going. It's worth it to rest in him. When we think of rest, we typically think of that hammock, not the run, the hammock, or that peaceful walk, maybe a good book, or a movie, or a nap. And those are restful, but that's not God's rest. God's rest is so much more than that. That might be a piece of it, but his rest is so much more. God's rest allows us to persevere. when you don't feel like you can do it a single more day. He gets us through. Even when we don't have time for restful things, if only I could get like a 20-minute nap without my child crying, I would be fantastic. And you're probably not going to get that 20-minute nap without your child crying. But you can still persevere because God is in you and with you. Don't miss the warning. The writer of Hebrews is giving us a warning. Don't miss out on God's rest because of unbelief. Don't miss out on God's rest because of unbelief. God's rest gives us peace in the middle of whatever storm you're in because he's in it with us. He is our provision, our propitiation, and our most restful place. We can and should rest in the Lord today. I hope you'll find true rest in him as you know him more deeply, as you obey him more fully, and as you share him more freely. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you extend rest. It is not that we have to continue striving, but that we can rest in you. Father, help us to trust you more, to know your character more, that we might rest more in you. Father, I don't know where the women are in this room, Father, but I pray that they would know you, that they would trust you, and that they would rest in you. I pray that their time in small group would be for their good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. Well, ladies, I have just one announcement this morning. Starting next week, we have the opportunity as women in Women's Bible Study to partner alongside Watermark's external focus ministry partner of Buckner International. So we are going to do a campaign called Pray, Give, Go. So the first one, you will have an opportunity to pray for Buckner and what they're doing. We will have prayer guides next week. We're also going to have an opportunity for you to give. We are going to be collecting shoes for their Shoes for Orphan Souls ministry. So next week, we're going to have a woman from Buckner come and talk to us about what that means and what that looks like. You're also going to receive an email from me on Friday, but we will be collecting closed-toed shoes for kids, so any size. They're currently in need of sizes for teenagers, so adult sizes 4 through 12, but any size, boys or girls, any color, they just need to be new closed-toed shoes. We'll be collecting those the next 3 weeks, so the last 3 weeks of the semester. Yes, we only have 3 more weeks after this week. So that's the other one, is to give. The third one is to go. We will have an opportunity. There's only a few spots, but if you're interested to serve either December 6th or December 7th to go and help them organize gifts for Christmas. So all that information will be in the email that I send on Friday. And then, like I said, next week we'll have someone from Buckner come and talk to us about their ministry. But I'm so excited for us to just get to be the hands and feet of Christ with Buckner. We read last week that the way to fight against just apathy in faith is to encourage one another. So we have that opportunity to encourage believers all over the world and non-believers through the way that we pray, give, and go. So you'll be hearing more about that. But if you're out this weekend and you're like, yes, I can purchase some shoes, you can bring them next week. We'll also have an opportunity for you to donate online if you're like, I can't pick them up, but I can do that. So be on the lookout for that information. Y'all have a great time in small group, and we'll see you next week.